Good morning, everyone. My apologies for being late. Full disclosure, I overslept. So the bad news is it's a little embarrassing. The good news is I'm better rested than all the rest of you. A very good morning to all of you, and what a nice renovation of this space. It's quite lovely. Congratulations. I will ask, as our first order of business, I will ask the secretary to explain the interpretation facilities, and I believe we have all new technology in this room also. I'm a little intimidated by this. I'm not exactly sure what that does. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning to everybody. That's new also for us, so the interpretation system, the channels, I'm not so sure you have one. With this button, there's no, on the buttons on the side, you can, yes. Okay, so zero is the floor, one, two is English, three is French, and five is Spanish, and seven is Arabic. So you have to press the buttons which are on the left side of the stand of the microphone.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Is it any button on the left or the second one from the third and fourth? Okay. The proceedings of this meeting will be recorded on audio tape, except for, as you know, our discussion of the applications for those who wish to seek observer status. We do not audio record those proceedings. As our first order of business, I would like to invite my friend, colleague, Keiji Fukuda, to officially welcome us to his house.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, everybody. Madam Chairman and Vice Chairs and delegates and members to the Executive Committee, on behalf of WHO and FAO, I'd like to warmly welcome everybody to Geneva and thank you for coming to attend the Executive Committee meeting. This is the 65th session, I believe, of the Executive Codex Executive Meeting, and so we're very, very happy to see you and look forward to the work that will take place over the next few days. Before I make any opening remarks, I do want to start first by acknowledging and congratulating FAO on the election of their new Director General, Dr. José Graciano da Silva, who is from Brazil. I think that under his stewardship, we look forward to continued excellent working relationships with our colleagues at FAO. So I think this is a very welcome development. Also, I want to start out by giving you some overall comments about some important discussions which are going on at WHO, just to help provide some background for the organization. During the past year, we've been engaged in a quite serious, I think, far-reaching discussion with our member states and also ourselves, which I believe will shape the organization for the years to come. And this discussion, which we term the reform of WHO, really has to do with global public health. And, for example, its governance, the role of WHO and other organizations in public health. And it's a quite serious and, I think, deep engagement into these issues. And this is driven in part because of the really growing sheer complexity of public health and the overlap with development, the overlap with policy, and these kinds of issues, which I think really we all see as a very visible development in public health these days. And in part, the discussions are driven by conditions such as the economic downturn, which we all still see the effects of, and really the impact on organizations like WHO, but also our many partners. And I think the need to really look at how we're doing business and to be as effective and as efficient as possible. So this discussion is going on right now. It will continue for a while, but I believe that this is a really fundamental evaluation of public health and certainly a fundamental evaluation of WHO. And so we will see its impact unfold over the next several years. Now, in the past year, in fact, in the recent past, we have seen some notable food safety-related events going on, which I think all of you are very highly aware of. But in March, we saw the combination of an earthquake resulting in a tsunami in Japan, which then resulted in a nuclear power plant accident with the accidental release of radiation. And I think this unprecedented combination has both deeply affected Japan, particularly in the Northeast region, but you see that it has had global repercussions also. And one of the consequences is that there has been a real sense of concern, I think, both among member states, but also the public, about the possibility of radiation contamination in food, including seafood. And so we see this continue to unfold, and the repercussions, I think, will go on for a while. More recently, in May, I think you know that we saw the development of an outbreak of E. coli in Germany, so-called EHEC, or enterohemolytic E. coli. And so far, this has resulted in over 3,000 cases of infection, over 800 cases of hemolytic uremic syndrome. And to date, I believe there are 48 deaths attributed to this outbreak. And then furthermore, I think you know that in France recently we've had the start of another outbreak of E. coli related to a virocytotoxin-producing strain. And again, we see that this has really occupied a lot of attention to the public and raised a lot of concerns about the safety of food. We've also seen that there have been a number of less well-publicized events which have occurred. So, for example, the adulteration of food by phthalates or plasticizers, and then a global recall of these foods going to many countries. And so these events, I think, are evident to everybody in the room here. Now, I think these events underscore some realities and some truths of which, you know, you well know. But one of them is that the extensive globalization of the food market, again, and the fact that food incidents in one country or one region really have global repercussions is so evident, and these are very good examples of that. The second aspect of this is that I think it more than ever really underscores the critical need for globally harmonized standards, first and foremost to protect consumers, but I think also to facilitate things such as fair trade practices. And so we see the effects in those kinds of spheres, and the need for that is clearer than ever. And so I think in this context, and given these situations, the importance and now really the expectations of CODEX are higher than ever. You know, in many of the discussions related to radiation, for example, CODEX came up over and over again. So I think that the visibility of the work done by the Commission, the work done by the Executive Committee is now more public than it has been in the past, and I think this is an important aspect. So in closing, I just want to just end with two points. First, we see that in food-related emergencies, such as any other urgent event, that communications is one of the essential foundations for how we deal with it. And in this respect, what WHO tries to do is work very closely with a number of key partners, and these include the governments of member states. There are a number of organizations, but particularly FAO, but other organizations, international organizations such as OIE and IAEA, in terms of communicating information and large numbers of experts and how we coordinate. And one of the things that we are gratified to see that in this respect, the InfoSAN network has been really, as intended, quite useful and quite helpful in facilitating these kinds of communications and coordination. The second point is one that I already raised, but the work of the Codex is clearly becoming more important and more visible than ever. I think it's clear that as we are now significantly into the 21st century, that the setting of standards based on science, the provision of advice which is based on science, and the continued work to build capacity in countries, including through the Codex Trust Fund, is another part of that essential foundation for handling these kinds of events. And so this committee and the work of the Codex, the larger Codex itself, is really very fundamental to those aspects. So with that hopefully very brief comments, I just want to again welcome everybody to Geneva and thank you for the time that you'll be spending with us and working on the world's behalf. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fukuda, for those very well-considered and very clear remarks, calling to our attention the important work done by WHO and also the need for this body to work effectively as advisors and guide and providers of guidance, as we are, to the Commission in its work, which becomes increasingly important, as you noted. So thank you very, very much. I understand that you have to leave us after a short while, but your remarks will stay with us. Thank you. We will now formally open the agenda and begin with the adoption of the agenda. I would like to start by adding one item to the agenda, and that is I would like to ask your indulgence to add to the discussion of other business discussion of the approach Codex might take, beginning now, to consider the challenges presented by electronic working groups. We are increasingly working in an electronic world. This is true for all of us, in our agencies, in our lives. We work by video conference increasingly. This presents both opportunities and challenges to Codex. It is a certainty that we will work electronically more and more in the future, and we need to think about the opportunities and challenges this presents to us. So if you can agree, we will add a discussion on electronic working to other business. Are there a member from North America?
Thank you, Chair. We would also like to propose another addition to the other business section, and that has to do with the work that has gone on in the last few years to support the committee chairs. And so if we could have perhaps a discussion about a regular program to do that, whether it be retreats or other activities that would mentor and assist committee chairs.
Thank you. Member for North America, if the committee can, at member for Europe.
Sorry, Madam Chair. Did you want to finish that item, or I have another item? Okay. If I could perhaps add maybe a discussion or a report, as I did last year, on the possibility of a chair's retreat, that would be useful to discuss. And this is what I asked for last year. Again, an update would be useful. And I'd also like perhaps just a report or just an observation from the chair or the vice chairs on not the outcomes of the Friends of the Chair, but how the process is working, just because I think that we did discuss this last time. I think it felt it was a good idea. I say I'm aware of the outcomes of some of the Friends of the Chair's meeting. I'm not interested in those outcomes. I'm interested in just how the process is working. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we can add that discussion also. Are there any other notes on the agenda? I see none. Then we will adopt the agenda as it stands with the additions of discussion of support for the chairs, including chairs retreats, a discussion of the process of Friends of the Chair, how it worked, and proceed thusly. Thank you. All right, then. Let's begin with agenda item 2, which is critical review of codex texts that are presented to the Commission for adoption. This is a piece of work that we do that, frankly, one wonders whether we really need to do it, because the criteria by which we evaluate texts are, number one, for consistency with the mandate of codex, the decisions of the Commission, and existing codex texts. Second, to ensure that the requirements of the endorsement procedure have been fulfilled where appropriate. Third, for format and presentation. And fourth, for linguistic consistency. And frankly, if a text has gotten to step 8 and there are serious problems in any one of those areas, something has gone seriously wrong. Those are the criteria within which, and the only criteria, we may discuss these texts. So the Secretariat will point out to us the relevant documents, and then I will begin the discussion proceeding item by item. Madam Secretary?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, and as indicated in the document, this document should be read in conjunction with the list of draft standards and related texts submitted to the Commission for adoption. For Step 8, documents CXCAC 1134-3 with Addendum 1 and Addendum 3. And for Step 5, there's only one document, CXCAC 1134-4. So as indicated, this is presented according to the format presented in the strategic plan, and we have put the indication regarding the endorsement of the different standards in the case of commodity standards, relationship with other committees when relevant, and also the comments from the chairs of the committees when we received them. Madam Chair, there is also an addendum 1165 to addendum 1. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We will begin then with the Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs and Foods. There are two MRLs at Step 8 for Narasin in pig tissue and tilmycosin in chicken and turkey. Are there any comments? I see none. We will then proceed to the Ad Hoc Intergovernmental Task Force on Antimicrobial Resistance, work that was happily completed on time and efficiently by Korea. Are there any comments? I see none. Let's move to the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables. First, the proposed draft standard for desiccated coconut. Comments? I see none. Proposed draft annex on certain mushrooms. Any comments? I see none. The proposed draft standard on canned bamboo shoots. I see no comments. Moving to the Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses. We have the draft annex to the Guidelines on Nutrition Labeling, General Principles for Establishing Nutrient Reference Values for Vitamins and Minerals for the General Population. Any comments, observations? I see none. Coordinating Committee for Latin America and the Caribbean. The proposed draft regional standard for culantro coyote. Comments? None. The proposed draft regional standard for lucuma. Comments? I see none. We move now to the Coordinating Committee for Asia, which presents the draft regional standard for edible sago flour. Comments? See none. The proposed draft regional standard for chili sauce. I see no comments. Thank you. We move now to the Committee on Food Hygiene. The proposed draft guideline for the control of salmonella and campylobacter in chicken meat. Any observations or comments? I see none. The proposed draft revision of recommendations to the International Code of Hygienic Practice for collecting, processing, and marketing natural mineral waters. Any comments? I see none. Committee on Fats and Oils. Presents for adoption the proposed draft amendments to the standards for named vegetable oils with the inclusion of palm kernel oleum and palm kernel stearin. Comments? I see none. The draft for the same committee, the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes. Any comments? Member for North America.
Thank you, Chair. And noted the criteria that you referred to that we are to use in our evaluations and our decisions here. And so this relates to the criteria with consistency with procedural requirements. It's no secret that this committee had spent a great deal of time working on the lists, that they were asked to complete their work by this session of this year, 2011. And they, in fact, did complete their work. We have concerns about the way and the manner in which that was conducted. particularly regarding the fact or the question as to whether or not consensus had been reached on the subject matter. The report of the working group and the report of the committee would seem to note that there wasn't a strong consensus on these lists and that there are problems with the lists. Additionally, and the report will note this, there were certain member countries that requested changes to the list in the course of the meeting, and those were agreed to. Other member countries who asked for changes, they were not agreed to. And we feel that that is a serious procedural problem. And we have, you know, we have other comments in terms of the list, but I would like us to deal with the procedural question first and whether or not this document and this standard should not be returned to the committee or work ended on it based on the fact that I don't think there has been a consensus reached, and the fact that they advanced the work doesn't necessarily mean they had consensus. They advanced the work, and so we would like to ask the executive committee to either return it to the committee or to discontinue the work. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for North America. Are there any other comments or observations in response to this comment? Member for Europe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I must admit I haven't been following this particular issue within the committees, but as a general observation, it would seem to me we've invested quite a lot of time and energy in the chairs, training them, trying to. We've got issues in the procedural manual when and how they should be, determine when consensus or not has been reached. If the chair has and the committee itself as a whole has suggested that this go forward at this step, then I'm not quite sure what this executive committee can do about it unless there is a major breach of the Codex Procedural Manual. So that's just an observation. I haven't heard that there is. We know countries and regions take different positions on different standards, but if there is a major breach, then obviously we should discuss it. But as I said, if the chair and the committee have advanced this standard, then I'm not quite sure what the problems are. Thank you. In terms of procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. Coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to say something in relation to this problem. I think that the second objective of the Codex Alimentarius, which is ensuring fair practices in the food trade, I would like to stress that positive list of acceptable previous cargos is especially necessary for developing countries, which could not carry out the required risk assessment or have not got the technical competence and resources for such evaluation at the national level and rely on Codex for guidance. And I should add more that all the substances in the Codex lists to be adopted are already included in EU legislation and in the list of the Federation of Oil Seeds and Fat Associations. And in the list of USA, it is the National Institute of Oil Seed Products. So, additionally, I would like to say that it is worth to note that adoption of the list will not delay the progress of Codex WECS if the necessary data are provided to JECFA to conduct a risk assessment. The data provided by the industry clearly indicate that the applications to include new substances in the list are quite limited. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Coordinator for Europe, your comments. While accurate, I have to take them at face value, do go beyond the criteria with which we judge. And I must recall for you all the criteria within which we evaluate standards presented to us for critical review. They are limited to those four that I read out at the beginning of the of this evaluation. So I know that may be frustrating, but we must restrict ourselves to those criteria. So please, member for Latin America, are your comments within that ambit, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta. En nuestro caso particular, hemos seguido con atención este tema, tal vez porque Argentina es productora de aceites. No podemos juzgar que se hayan violado los procedimientos, o al menos no puedo hacerlo, porque no he estado presente en la reunión del Comité de Grasas y Aceites. Sin embargo, sí hemos observado a lo largo de los años que es un tema muy complejo y, de hecho, tal como surge del acta de la última reunión, no parecía que hubiera un consenso absoluto en la resolución del tema. Realmente creemos que es un tema complejo para el Codex resolver si se debe avanzar en una lista positiva o en una lista negativa de cargas previas, básicamente por la cantidad de trabajo que eso le insume al JECFA en cuanto a tener que evaluar todas las sustancias que podrían ser cargas previas a una carga de aceites. En lo particular, hemos considerado, y es inclusive la información que también comparte el sector privado, que en términos generales las exportaciones de aceite se hacen bajo las normas FOFA, no tanto por las disposiciones de los gobiernos, sino que hay todo un intercambio entre privados que son los que rigen estas cuestiones. Si uno efectivamente se puede guiar por eso. Por lo tanto, digamos que no tenemos una posición absolutamente sólida y contundente respecto de esta cuestión, pero si en realidad no se ha logrado el consenso absoluto en el comité, quizás sería necesario revisarlo bajo otro punto de vista esta cuestión, para ver si se puede llegar a lograr un consenso efectivo sobre la mejor forma de abordar el tema. Gracias.
Thank you, member for Latin America and the Caribbean. I wish to reemphasize for this body that there are limited ways in which we can comment on this item. I see two more flags up. I will take these comments and then close this discussion, and we will reflect in our notes that observations have been made concerning the procedural issue regarding consensus, but really we can't go much beyond that. Member for Asia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I make an intervention, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all the member countries here for their kind help and encouragement given to us at the very, I think no word can express the disaster, but the, you know, horrible disaster, the combination of earthquake, tsunami, and nuclear power plant failure, in which all of us were under pressure, terrible situation, and lack of hope, that kind of thing. So I'd like to thank you all. Well, coming back to the story about the list of previous acceptable cargoes, I remember in 2009, this committee itself made a recommendation to the CCFO to finalize the list as is, or I mean, the thing is in the same format, without telling them to change the scope or positive to negative or that kind of thing. Fortunately or unfortunately, that committee followed the instruction and reached the conclusion and sent the text or the list forward to us or to the commission. So I'd like to echo the comment of the member from Europe that unless there is a clear violation of to this procedure, we should follow what recommended to us. And besides, we all know that this issue has been contentious for so many years, but the list is strongly needed by many of developing countries and taken into consideration unless there is a problem. I mean, we should listen to their voice, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Member for Asia, we all are joined in continuing concern and prayers for you and your country, which faces continual challenges. It's going to be a long time recovering from that disaster. But our thoughts are always with you, and they will be for the long term. Member for North America, do you have another comment you wish to make, or is your flag? No. Yes. Please. And then we will terminate this conversation.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Well, these are interesting comments, and I agree that we asked the committee to finalize work. We didn't necessarily say final, do things, just finish it without looking at what the procedures ought to be. And with regard to not getting into the discussion, we certainly could have a long discussion about the technical side of things. Codex lists are different than other lists, and they cannot be updated. This committee meets every 2 years, so it is important that these lists be done correctly. At a minimum, they can't be updated for over a two-year span. That's that would be actually unusual within Codex. So they do carry a different type of weight. So it is important that we make sure that when we enact a Codex standard, it is in fact a consensus standard for Codex. We would note that there is also a document on criteria for cargoes, and that we support very much. And so that is what really provides guidance to countries, so that it is there. But I will just note two things from the report to talk about procedural, where we see a procedural problem. The report of the committee in paragraph 46, in view of concerns expressed by one of the delegations asking to delete certain substances, the committee agreed to delete, or the chair agreed to delete. Paragraph 49, another delegation expressed the view that some of the substances raised health concerns and should be deleted. That did not occur. So there seemed to not have been a consistent application of the procedures within the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for North America. Achieving consensus. Determining when consensus has been achieved is always a challenge. It is a
it is for all chairs a process of learning, and this discussion in essence reemphasizes the need for Codex to continually assist its chairs in the skills required to mediate discussions, to assist delegations in negotiation, and to practice those skills consistently. We will note in the report your observations and move on to the next issue. I take it the observations were made on both of the draft list of acceptable previous cargoes and the proposed draft list. We have also on this, from this committee, the draft criteria, about which I have heard no concern. Let us move then next to the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling. Draft revised guidelines on measurement uncertainty. Are there any comments? I see none. Endorsement of methods of analysis in Codex standards at different steps. Core work of this committee. I see no comments. Committee on Food Additives. There are a number of items from this committee. I will not read them out to save time, but if you can view this list, there are 7 items on the list in the document CX Exec 11/65/2. Please look at that list and tell me if you have any comments or concerns. I see none. Let's move to the Committee on Contaminants in Foods. We have the proposed draft code of practice for prevention and reduction of ethyl carbamate contamination in stone fruit distillates. Comments? I see none. We have the proposed draft maximum levels for melamine in liquid infant formula. Any procedural comments? I see none. Let's move to the Committee on Pesticide Residues. Essentially ongoing work of the committee. A number of proposed draft and revised draft maximum residue levels, MRLs. Any comments, please? I see none. Proposed draft revision to the guidelines on the estimation of uncertainty of results for the determination of pesticide residues. Any comments, please? I see none. Committee on Fish and Fishery Products, the standard for fish sauce. I will note here that as a matter of timing, the endorsement process has not been completed for the standard, which is one of the issues we need to attend to in this procedural review. But there are no significant issues with the standard, and I think we can propose that the standard could go forward and endorsement be achieved later. We frequently do this in Codex. Are there any comments? I see none. Also from the committee, we have the proposed draft code of practice for fish and fishery products, the section on smoked fish and relevant definitions. Comments? I see none. And to save myself from repeating long titles, there are 3 more standards put up by this committee for adoption. If you could please review those titles in your table and raise any concerns that you have? I see none. Thank you. Let's move to the Committee on Food Labeling, which has two items for up for adoption, the draft revision on the guidelines on nutrition labeling. Any comments, please? I see none. And the proposed draft compilation of codex texts relevant to the labeling of foods derived from modern biotechnology. Any comments? I see none. Next, we turn our attention to the Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, which proposes for adoption the draft standard for tree tomatoes. And the proposed draft standard for chili peppers. Any comments, please? I see none. From the Coordinating Committee for the Near East, we have the proposed draft regional code of practice for street-vended foods. This standard should, as have previous standards for street-vended foods, be sent to the Committee on Food Hygiene for endorsement. But that, again, is a standard practice. And I believe we can proceed with adoption and send it to for endorsement later. Coordinator for the Near East, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. فيما يخص هذا العمل قد تم الاتفاق في اجتماع اللجنة التنفيذية السابق على تقديمه في الخطوة 5/8 في تاريخ أقصى سنة 2011. لذلك إذا نحن لا نعارض أن يمر على لجنة الصحة المدغية، لكن يجب أخذ بالاعتبار القرار السابق للجنة التنفيذية في هذا العمل. وقد عملت لجنة التنسيق للشرق الأدنى لاحترام هذه الأجيال، ولكم سديد النظر، ونحن لا نعارض إذا كان العمل يقتضي تمرير هذا العمل على لجنة الصحة المدغية. شكرا.
Thank you very much, Coordinator for the Near East. Are there any other comments? I see none. We also have from this committee the proposed draft regional standard for harissa and the proposed draft regional standard for halwa tahinia, both of which should be endorsed by CC Mass, Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, as a matter of regular procedure. Coordinator for Near East.
شكرا سيدة الرئيسة. نفس الشيء، نحن لا نعارض أن تمر على لجنة تحاليل هذه المواصفات، لكن في على أن لا ترجع إلى لجنة التنسيق مرة ثانية. نود تدوين ذلك. شكرا.
Thank you very much. We are indeed talking about adopting at 5-8 and seeking endorsement and making any relevant changes afterwards. But we are seeking adoption. Yes. Thank you very much for the good work. At this point, I turn the chair to Vice Chair Dave, who will lead us through discussion of the documents submitted for adoption at step 5. Mr. Dave.
Good morning, delegates. We now move over to the part two of this agenda item, which is draft standards and related texts for at step five. The first in the sequence is the Committee on Food Additives, and the item under this is proposed draft revision of the standard for food grade salt for consideration. Comments, please. The target year for this agenda item was 2011, and we hope that in the next meeting in March 2012 in Beijing, this item should be adopted. This was delayed because there was advice from the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, which is required on the preferred approach for selecting different analytical methods. And once the comments are received, advice is received from CCMAS, it goes back to CCFA, and then the agenda will be considered. We now move over to the Committee on Pesticide Residues. There are two items under this. The first one is the proposed draft MRLs. It is an ongoing process. Under this, there are three pesticides which are for consideration at step five. Any comments, please? Thank you. The next one is the proposed draft revision of the Codex Classification of Foods and Animal Feeds, basically for assorted tropical and subtropical fruits, edible peels, and the non-edible peels. Any comments, please? I see none. We then move over to the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. The first one is the proposed draft standard for quick frozen scallop adductor mussel meat. This item has been on the agenda since 2001. It's almost 10 years now, but substantial progress has been made in the last Fisheries Committee meeting, as has been pointed out by the chair. And it is expected that in 2012, they would be able to complete this work. I suggest the Executive Committee may encourage the Fisheries Committee to make efforts to complete this work by 2012. Any comments, please? No comments. Thank you. We now move over to the proposed draft standard for fresh, live, and frozen abalone. This work was started in 2007, and the target year proposed is 2012, so it is running on time, and apparently there are no endorsement issues. Any comments, please? Member for North America, please.
Thank you, Chair. And if I would just indulge for a minute to go back on the fish and fishery products, I want to make a comment on the frozen scallop abductor mussel meat. It is our intention to speak with the chair of the committee to discuss a concern that we have. And I raise this because it has the potential to make it difficult for them to complete their work in 2012. And so I just want to note that if in fact the change that we would like to see is something that they can't reach consensus on quickly, they may have that problem, and I don't know how we want to handle it, but it may not be possible for them to do that based on something we plan to talk to the chair about.
Okay. Thank you. Member for South West Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to maybe seek some clarification from the Secretariat. I have a feeling that the Fish Committee actually doesn't meet before the Commission in 2012 next year, so it may be impossible for them to finish the work by 2012 anyway. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, as indicated by Australia, the next session of the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products will be held in October 2012. So the deadline of completion for 2012 will be for the Committee, but adoption at the Commission would be in 2013. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there any other comments, please? I see none. So we now move to the Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables. The item here is the proposed draft standard for pomegranates. There was substantial progress at this meeting, and there are three items in square brackets. Any comments, please? I see none. Thank you. We move to the Committee on Food Labeling, the proposed draft definition of nutrient reference values. Any comments, please? I see none. Thank you very much. We complete our work on Agenda 2A. I'd like to give the floor to the chair.
Before we complete this section, the Secretary would like to point out an addendum issue we need to attend to. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to draw your attention to the addendum, Exec 1165-2, Addendum 1, which concerns only the Committee on Processed Fruit and Vegetables. First of all, we have the comments from the chairperson of the committee, which are produced, which are very detailed on all the items, so you can use that as reference. And there was also a specific issue on the methods of analysis and sampling, for which they were endorsed because several of the methods are standard methods for processed fruit and vegetables, but there are issues which should be issues related to the existence of provisions in the standard. So as indicated in the document, the methods of analysis for cadmium and lead should be removed because there are no maximum levels for these heavy metals in the standard for contaminants, and therefore the method is not necessary. And also methods of analysis for mineral impurities should be removed as these provisions are no longer in the standard. And then relating to the method for tin, it should be also removed because it's still under consideration. There have been some exchanges between the two committees on the method for tin. There is a provision and there should be a method, but this particular method proposed, it's still under discussion between the committees. So that was to remove from the section on methods mineral impurities, cadmium, lead and tin. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there any comments on this additional information offered by the Secretariat? I see none. Then with that item, we have completed our work on Agenda Item 2A, and we move to Agenda Item 2B, which is a far more critical piece of work, if I may share my personal point of view, and that is this executive body's critical review of standards that are in process. It is our job to monitor the work of committees as it is underway in committees, to keep track of whether that work is on target, whether it's taking apparently too long, it's not progressing, and this is a very important part of our job. That and consideration of new proposals for work. So this next section is very important, and I give the chair to Mr. Dave.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Delegates, under this agenda item, where we conduct the monitoring of the progress of standards development, the 58th session of the CCExec in June 2006 agreed on the following criteria that we have to apply for monitoring this work. And there are three items. When the progress is delayed due to the need for scientific advice, we would encourage FAO WHO to schedule an expert consultation. The second criteria is when scientific advice has been provided, but the standard has been under consideration for more than 5 years, the committee would urge the relevant committee to take action within a specified time frame. And the third criteria is that where an item has been under consideration for several years without any progress and there is no prospect of reaching consensus, the executive committee would propose suspension of work. So we have these three criteria before us when we monitor this work. We'll go committee by committee, and the first one is the Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs, where we have just discussed in standards development the draft MRL for narasin, which is at step 8. Any comments, please? 7. No comments? Okay. We move to the next one, the proposed draft sampling plan for residue control for aquatic animal products and derived edible products of aquatic origin. Here it is just the sampling plan which has to be completed. We do not have a target year because this work was initiated before 2004. It's part of the document which was adopted in 2009, which is being developed. We may recommend to the committee and ask them if and when they would be able to finish this work. Any comments, please? Okay. I would request the committee to tell us if they agree with this proposal, to ask the relevant committee when they would finish this work. No comments. We then have two agenda items on this, the issue of ractopamine and somatotropin, which we need not discuss at this stage. And we therefore moved over to the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables. Under this, there are two items. The first one is the proposed draft sampling plan, including methodological provisions for controlling minimum drain weight of canned fruits and vegetables in packing media. This is rescheduled for finalization in 2013. Any comments, please? I see none. The second one is the proposed draft standard for table olives. The revised timeline proposed here is 2013, and the Processed Fruits and Vegetables Committee would meet in October 2012. There is a consultation required with the International Olive Council. Any comments, please? Member for Asia.
Thank you. I have a question. I can understand that, there should be a coordination between our work and the IOC's work. Is there any possibility to know through you, Mr. Chairman, that the Codex Secretary would give us time frame within IOC work so that we can know how we can harmonize or coordinate?
Madam Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The IOC is regularly revising its standards for table olives, and we have a lot of information in the document on cooperation with international organization, CXC 13, on how it is carried out. That's for the last meeting of the International Olive Council dealing with table olives was held at the beginning of this year. It was in March 2011, and in fact the Codex Secretariat was invited, but we could not participate for practical reasons, but that's when they discussed the standard. The standards within the IOC, and they will produce the report and the draft revisions for some provisions. So we get this report, and this information is provided also in practical terms. The IOC participates in the Committee on Processed Fruit and Vegetables, presents in their comments the work that they are carrying out, and any proposals for the characteristics of the table olive, so that they participate like other intergovernmental organizations participating in Codex work, and that's up to the committee to see how they want to take into account the provisions in the IOC standard in the framework of the Committee on Processed Fruit and Vegetables. So there is exchange at the level of the Secretariat, and there is participation of the IOC in the work of the Committee on Processed Fruit and Vegetables. I hope it is clear. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. If the committee could agree, then we could ask the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables to give an indication of some realistic date when they would be able to complete this consultation process and complete this work. I see no comments. We now move to the Committee on Nutrition and Foods for the Special Dietary Uses. Sorry, Member for North America.
Thank you. I just a point of clarification. I note that we list two discussion papers. And I'm not sure whether we're supposed to be commenting on them or they're just information. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. In the Nutrition Committee, we have four items. The first one is the proposed draft additional or revised NRVs. This was the work undertaken, started in 2008, and the target year is 2012. Any comments, please? Thank you. We then have 3 more under this committee, and I propose to take them together. The work was started in 2010, and the first one, which is the amendment of the Codex General Principles, the target year proposed is 2014. Then the one on revision of the Codex Guidelines, the target year is 2012. And the third one, proposed draft annex to the Guidelines on Nutrition Labeling, the target year proposed is 2013. So these are fairly new works that have just been initiated. Any comments, please? None. Thank you. We now move to the FAO-WHO Coordinating Committee for Asia. Under this, we have one agenda item, the proposed draft standard for non-fermented soybean products. The target year was 2009, and we have far exceeded that target year. In fact, this item had been returned to the committee 3 times and is still at step 2-3. The proposed target date is 2012. We do understand there seems to be some problem with the discussions. Can we request the Coordinating Committee for Asia to comment on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 17th CCRC agreed to return the proposed draft standard to step 2 for the redrafting by the above-mentioned electronic working group, circulation at step 3, and further consideration by the physical working group, and at the 18th session of CCRC. And then we can propose to be extended 1 cycle more, or 5 years, from now, in order to get consensus among the ASEAN member countries.
What you mean is 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Okay. Member for Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, in fact, we would like to ask the same question, because thinking of the interval of CIS Asia, the next one would be sometime in 2012, and most likely after the Commission meeting. So it's not possible to meet the deadline for 2012, so anything later should do. But take into consideration, 3 times returned, it is not so likely that they can proceed fast. So if we are to go ahead with this standard, then we should give ample time before the preparation, take into consideration 2-year interval.
Thank you. 2015. That means 2015 from now, because you meet in 2012 and then 2014, so it comes back to the Commission in 2015. So you have 2 more possibilities, 2 more meetings, according to what you said. So we would encourage, the committee may encourage CC Asia to complete this work within the time frame and find a way as to how to carry out this work. And would you also like to consider in your committee, if you are not able to complete this work within this time frame, would you propose discontinuation of the work?
I have to do. We have to talk in the next coming CCASIA meeting. Include your statement, the last statement.
Okay. Thank you very much. Break for tea.
Thank you, Chair. From the notes, we read that this particular work has been a little bit problematic because it has been returned 3 times, and the coordinator is asking for more time. Maybe the coordinator may wish to share what the issues are and maybe get some guidance from the executive committee. Where is the problem? Is it the scope of the work? Is it the technical aspect? What is the real issue? Because I see that you may be coming back here without much progress. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Maniendo. We'll take note of your comments in the report. Delegates, we may break for tea now and come back in 15 minutes. Thank you.